Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We bring on from Fan University, it is Carter Freeman. Carter, how the heck you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm afraid Corey's mad at me because he gave me a research assignment to do and I flubbed it. I forgot to do it. So if you guys want to keep doing more NFL overreaction reality,
no!
I bet that's probably what Corey wants to
happened?
Do.
Okay. Two things while we're getting into this, Kevin. One, my fantasy group chat has officially changed their name to the Hobags, so that has happened because they thought that was fun.
Is that an accurate description of all of them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And they know it. Two, this is from TY at the Bearded Monkey on Sunday.
Okay.
He brought me this letter and wanted to ask
the world.
Notice that college players' pants do not cover their knees. Is this something new, and does it open up to injury? I have not noticed NFL players doing this and will be watching for high schoolers doing it. I think this may lead to knee injuries and leg injuries. Your thoughts? And so I did find a story in January from Deion Sanders saying that he didn't like it. He's like, look, I played in the NFL. We wore our pants down below our knees. You had to wear knee pads, and I don't like that. I think guys should be fined for it, he said. And, yeah, he also wants a salary cap and all sorts of stuff. So there is a lot going on. But it is interesting. I don't know if y'all have noticed, 877-881-1053, why do college players not wear knee pads and wear their – I noticed it mostly this weekend. It was Florida and Texas. And I was like, dude, these are short. They're wearing Daisy Dukes at this point.
I was busier watching Florida run the ball all over that vaunted Texas defensive line the whole game. I wasn't really paying attention to the shorts and that. But yeah, I guess, you know, not wearing knee pads, you know, it makes you a little faster, I guess, like you're saying. There's maybe some aesthetic reasons for it. But yeah, that's not really something I've noticed. But a quick Google, this goes back 2 or 3 years, just people asking this question.
Yeah, and it's Kevin, you know, when we go out to training camp, this is what all the NFL players look like.
Yes.
Like they look like they're wearing shorts out there.
True.
But then whenever they get in the games, they're wearing them down to just past their knees.
Yes. It's like as short as conceivably possible.
Yeah. And actually, if you look at Diggs, go look at Diggs the next time he's out on the field. It looks like he's wearing them, as you just said, as short as conceivably possible.
All right. Now, Carter, I want to start out with this. Go ahead and give me cut number 5. Just how good is this team?
They get right to the line here to snap it on second and goal. Another Williams run. And Williams is in for the Texas Tech touchdown.
Texas Tech has moved into the top 10, I believe, for the first time since 2008. And what's crazy about this whole thing is it's the defense that you can really hang your hat on, which, if you haven't watched Texas Tech play football in a generation, that is probably a shocking turn of events.
Yeah, it seemed like every year under Cliff Kingsbury and then Matt Wells after that there was a new defensive coordinator pretty much every single year because, hey, the last guy didn't work out, let's bring in a new guy, and the new guy couldn't figure it out. But, you know, they bring in David Bailey from Stanford, who is he's turning himself into a first rounder, their defensive end. And Romello Height on the other end is awesome as well. So it has been incredible to see them play 2 Big 12 road games to start conference play and blow both of those teams out, both Utah and Houston, undefeated going into those games. Utah was a little more competitive, at least in the first half, but this past Saturday, you could see the clear difference in talent, and I think coaching too. I think Joey McGuire has turned into the perfect guy for them to bring in as much as they did outside of the portal, keep everything that they had from last season, and manage all of that. Joey McGuire's done a phenomenal job, and I'm not biased because we talked to him on Fan University ahead of that game last weekend. He has done an excellent, excellent job, and at this point, 9 might be too low. Like, legitimately, the way that they play and how good they are on their lines of scrimmage, that's closer to top 5 in my mind, because they play in the Big 12. I don't think they're going to get that level of respect, but I do think they could go toe-to-toe with some of the better SEC teams this year.
So is this a playoff? When we get there, is this a playoff team?
They are the clear favorite to win the Big 12 right now. I don't think anyone else is even remotely close. And if they just say if they go 12-0 but lose the Big 12 title game as a, you know, in a close game, I think they would 100% still be in.
Now, on the flip side of this, I think we have to ask, go ahead and give me cut number 7. I'm going to play a positive highlight, but how bad is this team?
The only receiver that Texas signed in the portal from Stanford was Mosley, and he made a big play there. And now they're looking for another big play to the back of the end zone. Ryan Wingo got a foot down for the touchdown.
Bob Wischusen is so good, by the way.
Yes.
Like, as an announcer for hockey, for football, whatever it is, he matches those big moments for both teams so incredibly well. I thought his call on that Florida-Texas game was phenomenal.
Now, we mentioned this yesterday, but Texas and Penn State, 1 and 2, both out of
top
25. We'll get to Penn State in a minute, but what is the future? I guess, what does the rest of the season look like for this Texas team?
It's not good if they play anything like they did against Florida, because that very first drive for Florida to begin this game, Florida starts with the ball. They run the ball down Texas's throat. And this is supposed to be a Texas defensive line that's one of the best in the country.
And they have looked good, especially like earlier in the season against like Ohio State.
Yes. But then even in some of their non-con games, they didn't look incredible,
yeah.
You know, against some of the group of five teams. And then
yeah.
Their first taste, especially coming off of a bye week, to get bullied like that to begin the game, that is incredibly disappointing. And you can say what you want about Arch Manning. I don't think he was ultimately the reason that they lost this game, but he was 100% a part of it.
Yeah.
He made some nice throws. They were in a position to potentially tie the game at the very end. But there's still a skittishness. There's still overthrows. They're still holding on to the ball too long. There's still so many things that you would think he could, you know, during a bye week, you could look at the tape and say, okay, let's work on this. Let's work on that. It looked way too similar to some of the bad stuff he was doing against worse teams. So if you're going to do that against teams with better talent, and I know Florida was 1-3 going into this game, but that's still a much more talented team than what you're playing with UTEP or San Jose State. If you're going to do that against them, you're not going to win a lot of games doing that.
Not a huge fan, Kevin, of the game that Sarkisian's calling right now.
That's fair.
It doesn't look conducive to what this team can actually do.
They can't run the ball. The whole season, it's been a struggle to run the ball. And you get Wisner back in this game, and they still do nothing on the ground. Their biggest runs were arch scrambles.
And I understand, too, a lot of times when you can't run the ball, you start to use your short passing game as opportunities to add to it. But their horizontal passing game is just atrocious. And it doesn't feel like it's getting – and maybe that's because they can't run the ball. The defenses are like, we know we're going to run this stupid bubble screen with a tight end. And it's just – it doesn't look like it's good for what they actually can do.
I think a lot of it too, and Texas fans, please text in 877-881-1053 if you disagree. You can say what you want about Quinn Ewers and a lot of the defensive players that were here last year. It seems like the leadership on this team is not what it once was, because I'll just say, I think it was in the second quarter, Texas is down 2 touchdowns and Colin Simmons gets a tackle for loss on a second down. And so it's 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
And he's celebrating like they're up by 30 points and showboating.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Being in the back of, you know, in the Florida side of play. And I'm just like, don't do that. You are down at this point. You have to work to get back up in this game. You've put yourself in a hole. You on the defense have put yourself in a hole by letting a quarterback in DJ Lagway, who basically has one working leg right now, you know, just dice you up. And Dallas Wilson, the Florida freshman who hadn't played this year, came back in this game, was awesome. You see why he was such a ballyhooed recruit. But you are just doing so many things that it doesn't look like this is a cohesive unit. And you mentioned that on the offense, it doesn't seem cohesive. The defense doesn't seem that way either, because you've lost a lot of those players, and it seems like the leadership you had from, I don't know, an Alfred Collins or Andrew Makuba or Kelvin Banks on the offensive line. The offensive line is a major struggle, and they're going to go up against nothing but awesome defensive lines for the rest of the season, including one this upcoming weekend.
So I was about to, we'll get to that in just a second. I was about to answer this question, and maybe you guys feel differently from the 5-6-1. Is Arch Manning a top 10 pick at this point? Hell no.
No.
I don't think he would go in the first round.
Absolutely
at
not.
At this point.
I don't. I think at this point, he, if this is what he is, he needs another 2 years in college.
Yeah.
Which you thought him sitting would kind of speed that process up, but it clearly hasn't. I don't think anyone would take him in the first round, but he does have the last name attached. And there were nice throws, that Wingo touchdown he had in this game. There were a couple other dots that he threw, but those are just so few and far between. It's not consistent enough.
Yeah, we'll probably pick up more on the Texas OU game coming up on Thursday. But let's talk about Purdue football and Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Did you know that Purdue football must either really dislike Taylor Swift or they get way too caught up with her music? Because the 11 albums that Taylor Swift has put out, including her Taylor versions of some of these albums. Did you know that Purdue football has lost the ensuing game every single time?
What?
Now, Corey, I know you like.
This is weird.
Taylor Swift.
What does she have against Purdue?
Well,
look what you made him do.
Or do you think Purdue loves her music so much
that they're staying up all night?
Yeah, and they're just way too caught up after it.
Like Kyler Murray with COD.
If they did that with this most recent one, then I'm very disappointed in the Purdue football team, because I think this is 100% her worst album in probably since her first one.
What do you mean? Wow. Rolling Stone gave it 5 stars.
What are you even That's doing right now?
Yeah, they said it was brand new, a new path for her, when I'm like, okay, no, I've heard this song before. I've heard this song before. This is from Red. This is from 1989.
This is George Michael's song.
This doesn't, and that's honestly, the George Michael one was the best song on the album, in my opinion, because it uses some other artist's song.
This one sounds like a Lemonade Mouth song.
So we don't have to make this all about Taylor Swift. So you're saying the Taylor's versions too?
The 0 and 11, because it counts like Taylor's version of Red and Taylor's version of 1989.
And this is just during football season, because I know some of them have come out earlier in the year, so like they're not counting those. I think I saw from Extra Points.
So what they do is like, that is correct, because all of these are within the August and November window.
Because what I saw is, yes, Purdue was, they were 0-8 after the non-Taylor's version albums, and I didn't realize the Taylor's version ones, they had lost all those as well.
They did.
There was one team that was undefeated after a Taylor Swift album that came out, also in the Big Ten, that would be Ohio State. They had played every weekend after a Taylor Swift brand new album came out.
Okay.
They were 8-0, and they slap around Minnesota this weekend, so now they're 9-0.
Wow.
Do you know Ohio State has only lost to Minnesota 7 times, and they've played 60 times? Yeah, I know that the level of competition is a lot, talent over their history is a lot different, but you just think over that many times, you think they'd beat them more than just 7.
I would think that. All right, let's talk about Navy for just a second. By the way, quick question for you, Corey. Are you getting more excited about Texas OU or UNT South Florida?
UNT South Florida right now. Because as we discussed last week, this is their opportunity. And Kyle Yeomans said on our show on Friday, they will be up in the top 25 after they win against South Florida on Friday. But that's exciting to me to see that could potentially happen. But Texas OU weekend will take over my Saturday.
I think it's great that the
right
UNT...
Right before my FC Dallas watch party at the Derbyshire in Frisco.
Very nice. New home of the Renegades,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, it is.
Just real quick. You love the Renegades.
I do.
We were talking about this. How come when they were at fake Globe Life,
Choctaw,
they were the Arlington Renegades, but now they're moving to Frisco and they're going to be called the Dallas Renegades?
We'll never forget the COVID year, the five games they played before, they were the Dallas Renegades.
Okay.
So they're just going back to their historical name, Kevin.
Their historical name. I see.
Yep.
All right. So for Navy, Eli Heidenreich came into the game against Air Force with five catches all season. He left the game with eight more catches for 243 yards, which was a program record.
Because it was probably like, what, 60 yards
yeah.
was the previous record?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but yeah, that was surprising to see.
He had catches of 19 for a touchdown and then 60 and 80 for touchdowns as well. So that gives him 14 in his career, a new Navy record. All right, go ahead and give me cut number six. We've asked how good this team is, how bad this team is, but let's talk about what I hope is the best team in Texas. Let's hear it.
Now it's Reuben Owens, so Reed will keep it himself, and he dances his way into the end zone. He is thrown for two, and now he is run for one. 7-yard touchdown run.
Now, I know we played an offensive highlight for Texas A&M right there, but in their two SEC games, their third and fourth down defense, they have given up one first down in 25 attempts on third and fourth down. That is a robust percentage of 4% converting those first downs. That's incredible. And that feels like that's always going to win you games.
Absolutely. And I just think that I love the way that Mike Elko has come in for Jimbo Fisher and changed the way that they look at the team's roster, because there was a great article on The Athletic about this. And we're efforting to get Mike Elko on Fan University on Saturday. We'll see if that happens or not. Because I want to ask him about this too. Is their approach to the transfer portal is to get guys with multiple years, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these players that are having great success this year were on last year's team too, which they had a fine season
yeah.
in 23
yeah.
and 24. But they've come back, improved, gotten better, and you see the fruits of their labor. This was a game where A&M struggled a lot on offense in the first half.
Yes,
Marcel Reed had one, if not two, interceptions.
And they struggled on offense against Auburn as well, though Auburn is good defense.
Yes, and Mississippi State is much improved overall. You know, they nearly beat Tennessee a couple weeks ago in overtime at home. But just to watch A&M hunker down and refuse to let Mississippi State really move the ball. Their only touchdown was with, you know, 6 minutes left
yeah.
in the fourth quarter when A&M's already scored 30 points. So that'll always win you games. And then the offense might not always have the big day it had against Notre Dame. But if your defense is going to do what it's going to do, it's always going to give you a chance, if you're having struggles on offense, to fix that over the course of a game.
Are they realistically a top five or six team in the country?
I struggle with this because this year in particular, I think you look at Ohio State and you look at Oregon and you look at Miami as like, okay, those are the three best teams, but you don't really feel like those
yeah.
are just runaway.
Yeah.
But even down to Ole Miss at 4, A&M at 5, OU at 6, I'm like, are those really the best teams in the country? I don't know. Because like look, I'm an OU grad. I've loved what I've seen from the team so far. Our defense looks phenomenal. But do I look at them as a top, like the sixth best team in the country? I don't know. I think there's still so much to be said about the rest of SEC play, especially with the three SEC teams I just mentioned, because Ole Miss and OU will play each other. I don't think A&M plays either of them, but they'll still have their challenges ahead. So
right.
I think we're still working through that. But I will say, I think Ole Miss, A&M, and Alabama are 100% the three best teams in the SEC. OU, I'm just out on right now because of the injury to John Mateer. But as of about, this was about 20 minutes ago that this got sent to me from Pete Thamel.
This is another Chipotle.
This is not.
Freebirds tortilla presser?
No, it is not.
Right.
This is legit. Sources, and this is from actual Pete Thamel. I'm not getting ball sacked here. Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer is pushing to return this week for the game against Texas. There's a belief that his return is possible as he's reacted well to surgery. And I've said ever since he got hurt, that dude is a gamer. If he's not going to re-injure, if there's no concern that he's going to re-injure his thumb, he'll be out there. Even
okay.
if he runs every single time, doesn't throw the ball at all, he would be out there if he could. So it seems like it could be trending that way.
By the way, was the most pathetic effort of the weekend Penn State?
In the first half, yeah. It's, you know, the cross-country travel's going to be a thing for either the West Coast teams or the East Coast teams, depending on which way they're going. But look, James Franklin has elevated the floor of that program so incredibly high.
I could see that.
That you always beat teams like that. The complaint is they don't beat the good teams. So if you start losing to the bad teams, including the one that was
winless,
hadn't won a game, had just fired their head coach and their offensive coordinator and their new OC, Neuheisel's son, didn't know how to call plays through a headset like 2 days ago. That is highly embarrassing, and that's something that could genuinely change like James Franklin's future at Penn State. Losing to the big teams wouldn't do that. Losing to teams like UCLA absolutely would do that.
By the way, Corey, I don't know if you knew this. 90% of the public bets were on Penn State to cover the 24.5 point spread. They didn't cover the spread because they didn't win the game.
I think we know what happened there.
I'm done. I'm finally done. One. I'm not supporting Penn State ever again. I think I've done it like 3 or 4 years in a row. I'm out.
All right. We'll catch up with you again on Thursday. Do a little campus connection right there. Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask him about how the meeting went today.
Okay. That is an off-air conversation.
It was good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.